The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Meyer.
Good morning and welcome to Friday, November 8th. The end of a very, good but kind of chaotic feeling week. Yeah, wouldn't you agree? 770-563-3770-KMED to join in. I'm kind of looking forward to sort of a quiet weekend, aren't you? Maybe we can talk about that or anything else on your mind. Hasn't been quiet around around the police situation. They remember we were talking about that that shooting a few days ago that was over on Bullock Road in Medford? Well, they ended up arresting two 17-year-olds for that. Yeah, that story finally broke. They ended up releasing, not putting out the names of it at this point. But yeah, two 17-year-olds arrested with that shooting on Sunday, October 27th. Remember, it was a private party out on Bullock Road. And the juvenile suspects were both from Josephine County. Multiple shooting charges going against them. Because I guess what happened around 3 in the morning, these two kids have been going to this private party on Bullock Road. So there's a disturbance. They leave the event, or they're escorted out of the event, and then they come back in, guns a-blazing, you know, that sort of thing. Fortunately, the people that they ended up shooting were not that seriously hurt. Wasn't life-threatening. But still, you have to wonder, 17-year-olds, and where did they get the firearms? Once again, because we're told that although the fine gun laws in the state of Oregon will take care of everything, and all the gun bans will keep it from being in the hands of 17-year-olds. So I can't help but wonder, and I'm sure that the local media will probably not be too curious about this because they're not going to release the names of this right now. Could we be looking at some gangbangers type situation? Could it be gang-related activity? I don't know. I'm just purely speculating on myself, rather. But we shall see. We'll see what ends up happening with this. Frankly, when you're 17 at this point, this whole idea of keeping the names out of it. You're 17, you know, you're shortly before age of adulthood, and besides, the state of Oregon is telling parents that, well, you know, when your kid's 14, you can't know their medical situation any longer. You can't get into the my chart in the hospitals because, well, you might stop them from going tranny or getting an abortion or doing something else. Why are we protecting a 17-year-old involved in shootings? That might be an interesting question to go over at some point with law enforcement and the legislators that pass the laws that that tie the hands of our local law enforcement. I would say get it all out there, because one thing, public shaming can be pretty effective, public pressure when good shaming is applied to badly behaving people. Now, then you have... Well, speaking of public shaming, I guess it's more than a public shaming that is going on. If you heard what happened over at the University of Oregon yesterday, yeah, there was a guy named Leonard Serrato. Leonard Serrato, he's the assistant director of fraternity and sorority life over at the University of Oregon. In other words, he's a taxpayer-paid person. So he's one of those drones working at the Ducks. At the Ducks house, right? Well, he was placed on administrative leave because the other day after the election, he ended up having this this tirade against Trump supporters.
I'm done crying. My sadness is over. My anger has set in. I am a very petty person, and I am very proud of that. Love it about myself, actually. And so I say this in the most disrespectful way possible. I don't care if you are my family. I don't care if you're my friend. I don't care if we've been friends our entire lives. You can literally go f*** yourself if you voted for Donald Trump. If you are so sad about your groceries being expensive, get a better f***ing paying job. Do better in life. Get a f***ing education. Do something. Because you are f***ing stupid. And I hope you go jump off of a f***ing bridge.
Yeah, University of Oregon has placed him on administrative leave, and don't you just love the compassionate, caring, liberal mindset? I especially love this part. What was he talking about, the groceries?
You are so sad about your groceries.
Oh, yeah.
If you are so sad about your groceries being expensive, get a better f***ing paying job.
You know, I thought it was that that the liberals were always so concerned about the poor and the downtrodden. Apparently, if you're concerned about the price of your groceries, all you have to do is go to work for the University of Oregon and get a taxpayer-paid job like Leonard Serrato has, or maybe had. We don't know. It's kind of... Boy, Trump derangement syndrome, it comes in all shapes and sizes. The university is investigating. They say they'll be providing support for concerned students and employees, including resources for mental and emotional health. Yeah, these are the future leaders of this country, right? Over at the University of Oregon. Speaking of mental health, I had a friend that shared this with me yesterday. A friend tells me that the other day on the Ashland High School campus, the principal announces, if you need counseling today, we hired third-party counselors to accommodate for the election results. Isn't that great that they're teaching critical thinking? Teaching the kids at the Ashland High School how to deal with disappointment like a big old adult, a big grown-up. You got to abolish the public education. There's no reforming it. Not with it being run by woke liberal teachers' unions. I don't think there's any way of getting around that. But we can talk about that, too, if you want. I wonder if there were any other high schools that ended up having little crying rooms or some place to go to have. Now, remember, over at Ashland, according to the friend, that they actually hired additional counselors to help the high school students in Ashland deal with the trauma of having fewer rights. Wow. Like I said, these are the future leaders, so to speak. By the way, before I go to the calls, I just wanted to mention that there's another aspect of Leonard Serrato. Leonard Serrato, that was the guy that was just telling everybody to go F themselves, the one who's on administrative leave at the University of Oregon. He has a history. Anybody remember this story? It's from 2014, September of 2014, 10 years ago. The hazing death of a Fresno State freshman 2 years ago will result in jail time for two of his fraternity brothers, but their sentencing also brought mercy. 18-year-old Philip Donins died of alcohol poisoning after a party in August of 2012. Minutes after a judge sentenced Leonard Serrato, yes, the Leonard Serrato we were just talking about at the University of Oregon, the judge sentenced Leonard Serrato for the hazing death of Philip Donins. The victim's mother embraced Serrato. Diane Donins' message in that moment was much the same as she expressed in court to both Serrato and fellow Theta Chi or Chi officer Aaron Ramo. I'm not very good on my Greek. Sorry. I love you, boys. She said, "Thank you for being young men of courage and integrity." As a pledge in 2012. Philip Donins died after drinking large amounts of hard liquor at a party that Serrato bought. Serrato bought the alcohol, and prosecutors say he egged Donins on to take his large gulps of rum. So even after that, he ends up getting hired by the University of Oregon in charge of the fraternities. After that, even after he had been sentenced, wasn't a very big sentence, apparently. Serrato served 90 days in jail back at that time. And the University of Oregon still hired him. Apparently, he was a nasty guy 10 years ago, and he's a nasty guy still today. Hopefully, he'll be looking for a higher-paying job so he can... I hope he gets a lower-paying job, don't you? He gets a lower-paying job so this way he can... understand how those people, if you're just so upset about your grocery bills, just get an effing education and get an effing better job. Wow. What an elitist, huh? A little bit of schadenfreude, I guess. It's 20 minutes after 6. Hi, good morning. Friday, this is Bill. Who's this?
Good morning, Bill. It's Steve in Medford.
Hey, Steve. How you doing?
Don't you think it's, well, irony is lost on those who don't see it, right?
Yeah.
Women or people who are crying about the election of a dictator who wanted someone who is going to be a worse dictator.
That does seem to get lost in the process, isn't it?
Okay, really good.
Yeah, because remember, I remember Kamala Harris talking about, you know, quite openly, this is when she was in San Francisco, that, I forget the exact quote, but they were talking about having passed some anti-gun laws or something. Well, yeah, you know, we need to be able to just come into your house and see what you're doing. That's not dictatorship or anything, right? Nothing like that?
It's crazy. Hey, I have one other bit of really good news for you.
What's that?
I went fishing at Diamond Lake yesterday, and I drove all the way to the lodge, and I could hear 106.3 all the way to the lodge. It was getting a little scratchy.
Oh, yeah, 106.3 has pretty good coverage heading out there. You're right. You bet.
I kept thinking, okay, when I go past, well, I went past Lost Creek, and usually I lost the signal of 106.7, and so I thought, well, I'm going to lose the signal. Then I got to Prospector, and I thought, well, this is really cool. I still have the signals. When I got to Union Creek, I kept thinking, well, I'm going to lose the signal. And I got all the way to Diamond Lake. So it is doing fantastic.
Yeah, that's great. I think it's because Diamond Lake's a little bit higher than our valley, so the signal is still able to make it. I think what happens, though, is if you go over the hill and you drop down, you know, behind a hill into Klamath Falls or something, you'll lose it then at that point. That's just the way it is.
You go over on 230 West, you go over top of a pretty high, I think it's 7,000 or 8,000, or it's 5,700 feet or something. You drop down into Diamond Lake, and you still could hear it.
So. Yeah, well, as long as you have a relatively clear shot to Roxy Ann, Prescott Peak, Prescott Park, rather, in Medford, you're going to hear it. Thanks for the call there, Steve. 23 after, let me talk with line two. Hi, good morning. It's Friday. Who's this?
Bill, it's Jerry.
Hi, Jerry. How's the bull doing?
The bull is doing well. It's Friday.
Good.
I'm happy.
Yeah, the bull is like Ferdinand the bull, kind of calm, right? Kind of calm and just happy.
That's right.
Good.
That's right. Hey, I didn't read anything, but I heard something the other day that was quite fascinating to me. It was from Dr. Steve Turley, who has a YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. And he said that there was a man, I can't pronounce his name, but it was a Polish man who studied Marxism for 40 years. And here was his conclusion, that Marxists have one thing in common. They are psychopaths. And I believe this man received his education probably sometime after World War II. I believe he received his education before he experienced totalitarianism in education.
Mm-hmm. It's could you send me a link to Turley's information?
Sure.
On it? I'd to read that. I would agree, though, with the take on the psychopath. And the thing is, you've got a lot of Marxists that are running the system here in the state of Oregon. I know why we call them Democrats or progressives or whatever the case might be, but they're still drinking from that same pool.
Right.
And this is the part that when I was talking yesterday with Diana Anderson is, you know, I don't like to have to say this, but as great as the situation is in Washington, D.C., or how potentially it could be good, or at least, you know, stopping the bleeding in Washington, D.C. a bit with a Trump administration, it changes little in the state of Oregon right now. And my concern is that many conservatives and activist Republicans will just go back to sleep and watch Newsmax and Fox News and News Nation and thinking they're accomplishing something while the Marxists continue to burn down the state of Oregon around them. That's my concern over the next 4 years, okay?
Right. I understand that. Well, to be honest with you, Bill, I'm happy about the outcome of the election.
I am too.
I still am not sure regarding the House. And I am not going to count my chickens or my eggs or whatever until I see Donald Trump confirmed as the 47th president.
Yeah. It's looking better in the Senate at the moment. Dave McCormick ended up beating Bob Casey in Pennsylvania. That was a big one. Current number on the Senate, 53-45. And not enough to overcome the filibuster. It's not that, unstoppable majority, but certainly better than what we've had over the last few years. Okay? That would be good.
Do you know regarding the House of Representatives if the Republicans still have a majority?
That is still... It depends on who I'm looking at. Right now, I know CNN called Nevada for Trump yesterday, but I don't think it helped in the Senate race there. I still think the Senate race was leaning blue at this point. I'll be talking with Rick Manning about that. I think he may have the latest numbers on that and have a better idea on that coming up.
Okay, I'm more concerned about the House than the Senate, but because they have more to do with the confirmation, the House does.
No, actually, the Senate confirms. The senators, or I'm sorry, is it? Well, no, wait a minute.
Well, in terms of
Supreme Court justices are confirmed by the Senate, though.
Right. As far as certification of the election.
Oh, that part. Okay, yeah, you're right about that. Huh? But of course, it'll be the old House that would be certifying the election, not the new House.
Well, not that I understand, though.
No,
I understand is that the before. Sometime on January 4th or 5th is when the newly elected people are actually sworn in. Because I do remember Cliff Fentz was a new one last 4 years ago, I believe.
Yeah.
He participated in that process.
Okay. So I erred on my statement there. Okay. Thank you. Well, I'm going to talk with Rick about it. We'll have that on in about five, okay? About 5 minutes. Thanks, Jerry. We go to next line. Hi, good morning, KMED. This is Bill. Who's this?
Hey, good morning. This is Wayne.
Hi, Wayne. What are you thinking?
Well, I noticed Wednesday morning when you were on the air, I didn't get a chance to call you, but I heard a political commercial. I thought they'd be all over Wednesday morning.
Which political commercial did you hear? We didn't play any.
Well, I wish I could remember. It was a local commercial.
Uh-huh.
Local candidate. I can't remember the candidate, so can't help.
How are you listening? Because were you listening on stream or were you listening on the air?
On my car radio.
Okay, I assure you there were no candidate. Maybe something else. I don't know what you were thinking, but I can assure you I was on the air here. You know, at that point, I would have noticed a candidate's ad. I would have. So
anyway, it's kind of fun, Bill. I got to give you a little antidote here.
Okay.
I'm an Uber driver. I take people to the airport, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Wednesday and Thursday morning, I'm taken to the airport, and I said, are you leaving the country now because of the election? And they all cracked up.
So
they were all Trump fans.
Yeah, yeah. So you didn't see Bono driving a truck ready to head off the cliff, right? You didn't see that happening, huh?
No.
All right. Thanks for the call. Good hearing from you. 628 KMED. This is the Bill Meyer Show.
Hello, it's Rick Schultz, the new GM at Rogue Valley Country Club. I want to let you know that you don't have to be a member to reserve any of our indoor or outdoor private venues. Our banquet spaces can accommodate anywhere from 15 to 280 guests and all come complete with tables and chairs, flatware and glassware, audiovisual equipment rentals, and best of all, we set it up and put everything away for you. Rogue Valley Country Club is the ideal location for your next event. Whether it be a corporate luncheon, office meeting, holiday party, birthday party, or wedding celebration, come take a look and you'll see that we provide superior service and have some of the best views in Medford. We offer extensive menu options that will delight you and your guests, while gladly accommodating any dietary restrictions for those with specific nutritional needs. Give us a call at 541-772-5965 or go online at rvcc.com to schedule your next event. At Rogue Valley Country Club, while you're here, we treat you like family.
Siskiyou Pump Service and Rotary Drilling Company provides water to Rogue Valley homes from field to faucet, including water filtration systems and service. Siskiyou Pump offers a free water test for hardness, iron, pH, and conductivity, and will offer a free no-obligation estimate on service or a new state-of-the-art filtration system if desired. We've been producing the most essential ingredient to your home for over 50 years, fresh, clean water. So if you have concerns about your water, call for your free water test and no-obligation quote. Visit SiskiyouPump.com.
The new line of Horizon trailers have arrived at Two Dogs Fabricating, and they're celebrating by giving away a turkey fryer with any trailer purchase before Thanksgiving. Horizon heavy-duty equipment trailers are available in 10, 12, 14, and 20-foot lengths, and available in all black or two-tone black, gray, and black tan. So come sniff around our selection of Iron Bull, North Star, and Horizon trailers, and take one home loaded with a turkey fryer through Thanksgiving. Two Dogs Fabricating on Bryan Way off Sage Road.
I'm Tony Dusty with Dusty's Transmissions, and I'm on KMED.
6:31. Tracy, you wanted to talk about Leonard Serrato. Let me play just a minor clip of him first.
You can literally go f*** yourself if you voted for Donald Trump. If you are so sad about your groceries being expensive, get a better f***ing paying job.
Yeah, among many other things. So, Tracy, you are a U of O alumni. You wanted to talk about Leonard Serrato.
Yes, my blood is boiling over that. First, by the way, congratulations to Mr. Trump for selecting a female, get that female chief of staff.
Yeah.
Now that's progressive.
Yeah, Wiles, by the way, she knows her stuff.
That's
she's
wonderful.
Really good. Yeah.
So anyway, I am a University of Oregon alum from the 1980s. And I spent time in Eugene, obviously, and it's clear that Mr. Serrato would not have passed a background check in today's world. How he got elected or how he got his job is unimaginable.
Especially after he served 90 days in jail for serving alcohol. And of course, he's in charge of maintaining the alumni system, you know, over in at U of O. And yet he was charged 10 years ago in the death of a fellow student at that time.
Yes, he's in charge of much of the Greek lifestyle there at the university. I first found out about the Fresno State charges actually through the Daily Mail U.S. version, the UK paper.
And, oh, yeah.
It frustrates me.
Yeah.
Anyway, to sum it up, my anger, I'm not giving one more cent. I'm a lifetime member of the University of Oregon Alumni Association. I'm not giving one dime to that university until they get that guy out on the street and fired. And he should never have a job dealing with university students. Now, admittedly, U of O is where they filmed Animal House, downtown Cottage Grove, of course, as well, and around there in the Eugene area. But this just brings a lot of shame to the university, and he needs to be ousted immediately.
Thanks for the call. Good hearing from you, Terry. Or Tracy, rather. Let me go to Tom. Tom, you wrap it up here. Rick Manning's going to be standing by. We're going to get him on in just a couple minutes.
Yeah, Bill, I share your concern about the Leonards of Oregon running this state. That's where we're at. And people of that arrogance who always think they know your duty better than you do.
And they also think of, our democracy as exclusively their democracy. Go unhinged afterwards.
Yeah, looking at this, we've heard nothing but democracy, democracy, democracy. To me, that's the new veneer for fascism and communism. That's what they're covering. They have all their fascist, communist goals and ideals and so forth, but they call it democracy.
Yeah, with only one way to vote, only one slate of candidates to select from, and only one way to be, and only one, and frankly, only one political party in charge of the administrative state. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Our democracy.
I agree with you. I think the disease that's afflicted this country in recent years is government education and cranking out all these communists who they're so clueless. It's like all the Ashland High School students that think the global warming is going to kill us, that they have no life ahead of them because it's so bad.
And that they needed a third party counselors brought in the other day to help them handle with the change of the presidency. Yeah, it's
There's quite a movement here in this area for homeschooling and alternative schools and so forth. And I would urge anybody that's concerned about their children having a decent education to step out of the bounds of public education, because it's not education, it's indoctrination, and really look at these alternative schools. That is one thing that is a solution to this tsunami of Leonards in Oregon.
Separation of school and state. Appreciate the call, Tom. 6:35, Swamp Update. Rick Manning. We'll talk about the good news in D.C. And actually, boy, what's the battle, the scramble to fill these positions as President Trump moves in January?
Just look at it.
It's the Bill Myers Show on KMED, Southern Oregon's place to talk.
6:40, here we go.
This is the craziest party that could ever be. Turn on the lights, cause I don't want to see. Mama told me let's go.
The sun's a little brighter today in the swamp. I don't know. Is the air a little less fetid? Or is it the stench of the swamp in a panic? I don't know. Let me talk with Rick Manning. He's the president of Americans for Limited Government, DailyTorch.com. Rick, welcome back. Great week and savor the victory, but I guess it's rolling up the sleeves time, huh? Fair enough?
Yeah, there's a lot of rolling up sleeves going on. You know, I will just tell you my reaction, okay? It's very simple. I stayed up to 4:30 in the morning watching results on Tuesday. And then I fell asleep. And I woke up about between 7:30 and 8, and I immediately looked at my phone. And my wife looked at me and said, yeah, he's still won.
You weren't quite ready to accept it.
I went to sleep, and last time I did that on election day, everything changed.
When you saw the counting stop and then it restarted, and then you had that instantaneous, totally legit blue jump.
It was and so for me, I literally woke up and grabbed on so I could see what was going on, and my wife knew immediately what was in my mind. My actual emotional response was not one of jubilation; it was one of relief.
Yeah, because that was me too. It was like relief more than anything else.
And it's because, well, for one thing, I've discovered that I hate pain more than I like pleasure. So it's losing hurts more than winning feels good. And because of that, what winning means, it means work. Winning means it's an opportunity. It's an exciting opportunity to get stuff done, to try to do things that will actually restore this country and restore our capacity to have our next generation do better than this one. And create an environment where people are able to thrive and where government constraints are off, and to create a new hope for people, for future. And the hopeful thing about this election, Bill, is, as crazy it might seem, it appears as though Harris did very well with 65+, which has been traditionally Republican territory.
Yeah.
And Donald Trump kick tail with Gen Z. How is that? I mean, I sit there, I look at it, I go, this was truly a complete, everything I know about politics over 45 years of doing this is now in a big swirl. And
well, could it be that even Gen Z doesn't like chaos and loss?
I think Gen Z didn't like not having any money and not having hope of getting it.
Yeah.
Now, that's the bottom line. I also think Gen Z was given permission because of, especially males, because of the Dana Whites and people like that who were, Hulk Hogan's a little bit before their time. But, there was this thing that said, gee, you don't have to take it anymore. And my one hot take on it is women might not have cared all that much about the transgender issue, but I think men did.
Yeah,
I think men, fathers see their girl having to compete against a boy, or think that their girls are going to have to compete against a boy in sports, and suddenly your 100-pound field hockey player is playing against 180-pound former offensive lineman.
Yeah, dude in a dress.
Football team.
Yeah.
It's a, you know, it's, I think everybody out there knows this, but in a world where we try to deny that gender even exists, or that you can change when you want to, there is a basic genetic instinct for males to protect females. And you don't make, and you can't just, you know, sociologically wipe that away, because that's how the world has survived over, the entire history. Men are the ones who go and die so their wife, their children can survive. That's what we're built to do. Because, you know, the one thing that the Democrats get right is men, genetically, we are expendable from this standpoint, because it only takes one man to populate the world, but it takes a lot of women. And it is a, and so the job of the men is to protect the repopulation of the world.
Exactly.
That is our job. And we are, and that's built into us. And when we see people abusing our women, the natural instinct is to say, I'm not allowing that to happen. I'm not going to stand for this. And too many cases we've seen over the last 4 years, 5 years, of people in, you know, we've had here in Loudoun County, Virginia, a famous case where a father ended up triggering the entire FBI response to school board saying, look out for parents who might be mad about your transgender policy. He triggered it because his little girl was raped. His 14-year-old girl was raped in a bathroom by a boy.
And you know something? It's good that fathers go crazy when crap like that goes on.
And that's what...
That's what's supposed to happen. You know?
What do you expect? What would you expect? You know, the guy wasn't the most articulate guy in the world, but the fact of the matter is, I sat there and I looked at the men who were sitting there on the school board and said, who are you? What? Where did you lose? Are you taking estrogen shots? What is your problem? Ultimately, you know, they talked a lot about the gender gap. The gender gap was, I think in this case, men decided that they were going to put an end to this. And I think Gen Z,
it's like the men ended up doing like a Worf from Star Trek, you know, the Klingon. I'm going Klingon on this situation right now, pulling out the sword and off with the heads of the chaos. You know, I think that's kind of where they were coming from,
in a nice electoral way. And ultimately, when men were responding that way, they looked at the two candidates and the vision of Donald Trump having been shot, standing there with his fist in the air, is what they saw. And they want a leader. You know, I think America voted, 51% of America voted, for a leader to lead our country who's strong and will stand up for Americans. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, that's what it was. It was a rejection, and albeit I'd like it to be 60-40, 65-35, but nationwide, it was a rejection of the inherent weakness of those who believe we have to apologize for America.
And I also think it's a rejection of radical feminism, too. I was talking with Jennifer Strickland. I don't know if you know her or not.
No.
But Jennifer Strickland, former model, Christian, and, pretty big within the anti-feminist world. And I was asking her, why haven't more of the women stood up for the girls, right? And she said, the problem with feminism is that feminism as practiced in the United States essentially has been anti-family right from the start. And so why would you expect, you know, feminists to come out and protect the girls? They're not, you know, for the family. And I'm wondering if there's going to be a real reckoning of that, of team feminism implanted so thoroughly up the behind of the Democratic Party.
Well, I think she's right in terms of it being anti-family, but I will tell you, I think what's more right is socialists don't care what happens. They have niches they're filling to try to drive message to create the socialist agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And the social agenda is, you know, the communist agenda is anti-family. The state should be taking care of people, not parents. So she's right. Philosophically, they're anti-family, but secondly, they're, and I think probably more importantly, they are partisan leftists. And, you know, and I mean, and we know this. This isn't new. You know, Bill Clinton becomes a hero of the left, you know, the hero of the feminist movement. And they turn a blind eye to who Bill Clinton was.
Yeah. To all the abuse, to all the female abuse. Yeah.
And then we saw it in this election where, you know, first man or what the heck he was, Dougie, and his history of abusing females, and completely, you know, nope, can't watch it, can't look at that, and put blinders on it regarding it. And as a result, you know, the lie about it has been exposed numerous times. And as a result, and Donald Trump benefited from this, as a result of that, people sat there and looked at Donald Trump and the accusations against Donald Trump and said, you know, that's just political garbage, because we've seen this act before. And whether or not those charges were valid or not valid, and, you know, I suspect they weren't, but whether or not those charges were valid or invalid, they were invalidated by the inconsistency of those who bring them and those who express outrage over them.
Yep, you got it. Rick Manning's president of Americans for Limited Government, DailyTorch.com. Rick, I wanted to shift gears to what's going on there in the swamp right now here, too. And thanks for that explanation. I would also dare say that, you know, we had the boys deciding this election along with married women. Married women broke for Trump. And that seems to be the real divide in the country. Are you married? If you're married and your woman, you likely vote for Trump. If you were male, you are more likely to vote for Trump, too. So I think that's what we were looking at. But tell me about Susie.
White women voted for Trump, married or unmarried.
Yeah. All right. Susie Wiles, chief of staff. Tell me about that.
Yep.
That looks like a pretty darn good pick from what I'm reading.
You know, I actually don't know her, okay? I know of her, but I don't know her, which may be why Trump picked her, because she's familiar to political, you know, people who do the campaign stuff. But she's been a longtime political campaign manager in Florida and did an incredible job managing the campaign. So she did an incredible job. She is as Trump described her, she's a behind-the-scenes person.
But Trump doesn't like strong women, right? He can't handle that.
Trump doesn't like strong women. Yeah, he doesn't like strong women. I'll just give you the upside and the downside. The upside is she apparently has an extraordinary capacity to manage a lot of tasks simultaneously.
Well, that's good.
You have to, okay? So if you're running a political campaign, you're managing a lot of tasks simultaneously, and she managed to manage them and keep the balls from falling on the ground. And the campaign had very, very few missteps. So that is that's a testimony to her management and organizational capacity. She clearly has a superior political instincts and is in sync with Donald Trump. And the challenge that he had throughout the 4 years was finding staff who were in sync with Donald Trump.
Is it going to be easier this time for Wiles to find people that are in sync with Trump, so that way we don't have enemies appointed by him?
I think so. Yes, I think so. I think a lot of the people who were appointed before, who or would have been appointed, kind of exposed themselves over the past 4 years. And, you know, you just look at the VP choice. You know, this J.D. Vance wasn't a VP choice to balance the ticket. J.D. Vance was a VP
double down
choice to double down and have somebody who will fight as aggressive, who's smart, will fight. A choice that very, very few presidents make, to have a vice president who is strong enough that he could outshine the president at times. Mm-hmm. That never happens.
And Don seems to be okay with it, too. And that speaks a lot to Donald Trump, because, you know, because he's, this is it for him. This is the final 4 years. He knows he needs to pass that torch, and he found someone good to do that with, from all appearances.
He really did. I think he did. I mean, I think philosophically, I probably have some challenges with J.D. Vance, but I agree with him a lot of things also. So, you know, that's going to be I think a lot of people, as they get to know him, really, you know, we'll see how he kind of grows as a person, as a politician over the next 4 years. But back to Susie Wiles, she had a role in that. Susie Wiles she will be the person who I believe Trump will use as his kind of lightning rod. But also, if Trump gives her something to do, she'll do it. And the problem, I'll just give you a personal anecdote. I had a piece of legislation I wanted to get done. Okay, it needed to be attached to an appropriations bill. It dealt with being able to fire public employees. I got Donald Trump, because I knew somebody was playing golf with him every week. He took it to Donald Trump on the golf course. Then got invited to talk to him at the Oval Office. I wasn't there. He goes before Trump, hands him the packet that I prepared. Trump looks at it, he signs it, and he says, and John Kelly was the chief of staff at the time, he says, you know, get this done to Kelly. And so 2 weeks later, I'm hearing nothing about, except for that Trump did that. So I contact the White House and people I know at the White House, and I get sent over to Legislative Affairs. And, we haven't heard anything about that. And I'm sitting there going, what do you mean you haven't heard? This is what happened. Well, you know, tell us what you need. So I go through the rigmarole, go through it all with them. I say, but you understand the president signed off on this, right? And you work for him. And they said, well, it's just not one of our priorities. And they totally...
They just blew him off.
Rabbit-holed it.
Yeah.
And you know, the guy who was running Legislative Affairs at the time was Mark Short. So, you know, it's just, that won't happen with a Susie Wiles.
I'm glad to hear that. Another question I had for you, the scramble's on, of course, to fill some of these positions. Who is going to put the boot to Pete Buttigieg? Do you know, over at transportation? Because I'll tell you, between EPA, a lot of damage has been done to this country by clowns like that in transportation and the EPA. Do we know? Any ideas there? You hearing any rumors?
I haven't. Truthfully, I have stayed out of that rumor mill a lot. But
okay,
I'm now going to have to get into it, because you know we have to make sure the right people get in. My suspicion, and just on this, as you know, my former boss at Labor, Elaine Chao, was the transportation secretary under Trump. There were a lot of good people working, you know, over there for her, and there's a lot of good things. But I think I think Trump's going to bring in somebody.
I don't think you can bring someone in who is married to the turtle. I'm sorry.
He's not going to.
Okay.
She made herself forever ineligible because she quit on January 6th. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the people who quit out of the administration on January 6th are permanently ineligible for a visitation to the White House. Just be clear. So she quit on January 6th because, as Mitch did for all intents and purposes. So she's not somebody, and some of the people at the top there won't be. I think this time they're going to go with somebody who is actually dealing with, kind of the transportation logistics world, who is not necessarily a political person, but understands how the transportation system works, understands what the transportation system needs to look for, work in the future. And it would not surprise me if Elon Musk didn't have a hand in picking that person, because the transportation systems of the future are going to be significantly different 20 years from now than they are right now.
Okay, that would be interesting.
You can't just have a slug. You got to have a political slug. You got to have somebody the visionary.
I get it. All right. Hey, final question I have for you, because I'm just running out of time. I'm pretty full this morning. In fact, I even had the opportunity to talk with Newt Gingrich yesterday for a few minutes.
And that
was pretty cool. I'll play the interview a little bit later, but I couldn't get a straight answer out of him. And maybe he misunderstood the question, and I just ran out of time with him. Does Trumpism survive Trump, or is it only the man at this point? What would you give me? I think I asked it a different way with
the answer is yes. The answer is yes. The appointment of J.D. Vance as being VP ensures that Trumpism survives Trump.
Okay. That's good. And maybe I should have asked that a little more elegantly with the speaker.
No, he knew what you're asking, and he didn't want to answer it.
Oh, okay, all right.
Okay. Remember, his head is twice the size of his body. He's a very smart guy.
Oh yeah. So, I figured that much, and he played me like a violin, like he wanted to. All right. Now there's one more final question.
Sure.
What is the balance of the House looking at this point? And what about Nevada and Arizona? Is it going to go blue? I know CNN, I think, called Arizona for Trump, but I just don't know about the Senate and the House. How are you looking at the balance right now?
Speaker Johnson says that the Republicans are going to be in control of the House and is moving ahead. We're going to move ahead with speaker elections in the conference next week. Some of the California races are extremely, close. And I just was looking at them before we got on the air. Probably four or five of them could go either way. They counted about 50 to 60% of the ballots so far. And it's just the California system has to be ended. It's just nobody can trust it. But there are five or six seats that could go either way. One of them is a Democrat.
Yeah.
Seat.
In other words, it's filled with shenanigans like everything else that happens in California.
So that's the challenge in California. The best guess is that the Republicans will be about where they were last time. And this will be pretty much a no change election in the House. The good news on that is Donald Trump's going to be telling people, you need to do this. And he's going to be, you'll have somebody who's got a big stick who's going to be beating the heck out of people who are trying to play, hero ball. And that'll be so you'll be able to manage them a lot better. And I believe the Republicans will have the House and the Senate. In terms of Arizona, they still have about a million votes to count in Arizona, and Kerry Lake is down by 50,000 votes.
How can we still be talking about a million votes at this point? So many days. I mean, if this doesn't scream hinky,
Bill, I don't. It is beyond me, okay? But I'm just telling you, there's a million votes left.
Okay.
Around a million votes. And they have, and Kerry Lake's down, it's a 50,000 vote majority, she's down 50,000. She picked up 10,000 in about the first 200,000 were counted. If she wins those votes, 53-47, she wins. And the Republican GOP in Arizona says that the places where the votes haven't been counted yet are good places for Republicans. So we'll see. But I think the premature call on this might have been on Kerry Lake. I think Trump wins Arizona overwhelmingly. I think the premature call is Kerry Lake and losing. I think she actually has a shot, given what's outstanding.
That would be great to see her in the Senate, that's for sure. All right, Rick, we will talk next week, all right? Thank you so much, and maybe decompress a little bit this weekend.
Maybe 10% more will be counted in California by then.
Okay. Hey, they may have 110% turnout in California by the time we're done. You never know, all right?
Well, who knows?
Yeah, all right, thanks for the call.
Take care, man.
Take care.
Bye.
3 minutes after 7, KMED, KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass.